Oh, the holidays are here, whether you are ready or not. For me, the meaning behind them seemingly changes every year. Some holidays are all about family and the time spent with them. Other years, that family time is all too brief. And holidays become disappointing, as though I'm missing out on what all my friends and relatives are experiencing. And then there is that time exchanging gifts. Most years I look forward to giving, but admittedly, other years the kid in me just ready to receive. Exchanging gifts can be such a pleasure, finding just the right thing to give, bringing out that sense of joy and awe from the people you love, or opening a true surprise, knowing the thought that went into its selection. And then there are those for whom finding the right gift is such a chore. We all have that person on our list, mom or dad, who needs nothing and bluntly tells you so, offering no suggestions. And so I sit here today, 2 weeks from Christmas, unsure of myself and what to do, with a long list, little money, and far too many folks who are possible to please but difficult to impress, unable to find the right gifts. So I ask, what is a gift? Just because I give something to another, does that make it a gift? What if I am indifferent and only give because they're on my list? What if it requires little thought on my part, like a gift card, that submission to simplicity? What if it turns out to be something they already have or something I didn't want? Is it a gift if it's expected, if I'm supposed to get it? More importantly, is it a gift if that person doesn't want it, even if both of us know they need it? Can it be a gift if you give it with good intent, but it is received with aloof attitude? My love somehow seen as my mindset? And so I sit here, not knowing what to do. Books and music and other items being so effortless, bringing smile, but so little life change. Once again, I spend so much time lingering over such a shallow topic. But then, I don't want you mixed with that crowd of folks on the day after, exchanging my thought for your preference. Does that make me selfish or caring? So I ask again, what is a gift? Is it something that makes me happy to give or you pleased to receive? We're all trying so hard to do both. Is it what's inside the box or bag that counts, or the time spent discovering it, opening it? I try and write this off as insignificant, but I'm in so deep this year. As my list grows older and more important, my time spent with each person is never enough. Maybe that should be my gift. Time together. Nothing is more personal or thoughtful than time. And there's another 50 plus weeks to give that. All right. That's my problem this week. I don't know what yours is, but bring it on. We have folks here who can solve all problems today. Isn't that right, Denise?
That's right. I'd like a little bling, by the way.
Is your husband listening?
Some earrings.
Your husband, your kids, are they out there listening today?
I hope so.
All right. Denise Lunsford, Commonwealth Attorney-elect for Albemarle County. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
I've read about you for months and months.
All these
articles in the paper. You know, it was an interesting election.
Yeah, it was.
Congratulations,
thank
by
you.
The way.
Thank you. It's a fascinating process.
Fascinating process. What makes it fascinating? Being in, not just participating in an election, because there are lots of people who at some point either volunteer or maybe they were in, you know, some process, whether it's trying to get elected or made a member of a board or a committee or something like that. But to be in one that is so, I guess just so public, for lack of a better term, where there's some article, some picture, some comment every day for
sometimes it
6 months,
feels that way. Right?
More?
Right. Sometimes it feels that way, and it is really different being sort of in the public and at least feeling like you're being scrutinized or looked at for everything you do, everywhere you go.
And it's not. It's not. Just like this is suddenly Denise Lunsford in the public.
Right.
Because, you know, doing my homework for the program today. You Google and you go back and there's articles where you're the attorney for this person or that person. You University of Virginia football players for
right.
for some of the more, public trials that you've been involved in.
You didn't have anything else to do yesterday?
No, not really. Actually, I had a very busy day yesterday, but, you know, my social life has its moments. I have special people cooking me dinner, and I just wander off into the back room. but the public life, which is such a big part of who we are now in terms of, there are hundreds of hours of television devoted to looking at people and what are they doing.
Right.
And, hopefully I'm not insulting you when I'm saying that you're not a celebrity status.
Not at all. Thankfully, no.
But I can't imagine being involved in having an article or a picture of me in the paper every day. Was there any concern ever about what someone might say?
About the article or in the article?
In the article.
I think both ways. There are concern. Just not knowing. As a lawyer, to a large extent, I'm used to having control over the situation, control of what comes out in court to some extent.
One of the things
extent.
You're supposed to know as a lawyer is you always know the answer before you ask the question,
right,
correct?
Right. And most of the time that's true. Sometimes you have to step out there on that limb. But in this kind of situation, you sit down, you answer questions, or you, like in a situation like this, you expose yourself on live radio, and you don't really know how it's going to come across. You don't really know what the reporter is going to say. So it does leave you feeling, or left me feeling, a bit more vulnerable, I guess, than I've felt in a long time.
You don't know what I'm going to say
That's
today,
right.
do you?
I don't know what you're going to ask.
Although when I spoke to you this week on the phone, you did tell me that you were listening to one of the podcasts.
I did. I did a little homework myself.
Just to make sure that you weren't getting yourself into something that you were all too uncomfortable with.
Right.
By the way, www.sevillepodcast.com. This program should be, its entire hour should be available at some point later today. All right, so let's go back to the beginning. Denise Y. Lunsford, Commonwealth Attorney-elect as of November 6th, somewhere around there.
Somewhere.
You take over the position when?
January 1st.
January 1st.
Yes.
Okay. How did you get to where you are? Where did you go to school? Get people your background.
Okay. I grew up in Tennessee, southeast Tennessee near Chattanooga. I went to a local community college for a while so that I could live at home and save some money in order to go to school. Then I went to college at Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro. And
didn't we kick their butt in football this year?
We did kick their butt in football this year. And I say we. I consider myself a Virginian now. I've been here since going to law school, and I really love Virginia, and I love this area in particular. But it was there that I decided to go to law school, and then applied to Washington and Lee School of Law in Lexington. And that was my first trip to Virginia, was to come to Washington and Lee, which I hated for the first year because it was so small, and that very tiny town atmosphere was something I was just not used to. Even though I came from a relatively small town, Lexington is just microscopic. my second year on, I loved it, and it's still it's very special to me there. And I think I got a very good legal education there. Came to Charlottesville in 1990 to work for a firm called Mickey Hamlet, Lowry, Rasmussen, and Tweel, which is still here in town, and really feel like I continued my legal education there. They were very good to me in terms of insisting on public service, insisting on doing criminal defense. At that time, Charlottesville Albemarle did not have a legal aid, or not legal aid, pardon me, but public defender's office, so it was left to the private bar, and Mickey Hamlet felt very strongly that our attorneys had an obligation to be on the court-appointed list. So that was where I was first introduced to criminal litigation and criminal law. And really, I and the others at the firm realized that that was sort of where my heart was. So I left there in 1997 and started my own firm doing primarily criminal defense.
So 7 years.
Mm-hmm. On my own. Or 7 years there.
And now, and this is a question that I've seen often in interviews, published interviews for you, but I'll ask it anyway. I'll toss up the softball. How do you switch? How do you go from defending to prosecuting?
Well, you know, as I've said before, I think that any good lawyer can argue any side of a case, given the opportunity. That's sort of how we're trained, is to see the gray area, to look at both sides of an issue. For me, it was about trying to put what I felt are my talents or skills to use for many people. I saw that there was a need. I felt that there was a need in the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office in Albemarle County, and I felt that I could fill that need. And so that's why I decided to go from defense to prosecution.
What kind of need?
I felt like...
I mean, we already discussed this. There's no bad-mouthing here of other people.
Right,
but,
right.
But if someone is going to oppose another, compete with someone else,
right.
There has to be at least some sense of that I can do a better job. I can win the game, if it's how you sort of state it as a sports metaphor. And in this sense of work, it's I can do a better job, or I want to do the job differently.
Right.
So, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was, you know, there was some talk during the election about whether or not that was negative campaigning. But I agree with you. When you're running against an incumbent who has held the position for so long, there has to be a reason that you're running and a reason that you think you can do it different or better. And I don't happen to think that's negative campaigning, because I try very hard not to let it slip over into the personal. It was always about the job that was being done. And my concern about the job that was being done was from a defense perspective. I felt like oftentimes, rather than pursuing justice, sometimes there was the pursuit of the win. In other words, rather than trying to sort of make sure everybody was treated fairly and everybody was given a fair shake, and instead it was, how many charges can we bring so that we can get this guy to go to jail for as long as humanly possible, because we don't like one tiny thing that he's done? Or how many charges can we bring so that we can get this guy to plead guilty to something else? I felt like it wasn't being pursued fairly, and justice oftentimes sort of slipped to the side. I also heard a lot of stories and witnessed for myself lack of preparation, sometimes not treating witnesses or victims fairly. And again, I tried to emphasize that from my perspective, that was coming from that office and coming from one person in that office, and was not a problem with victim witness services, for example, or other attorneys in the office.
We'll get into that in a minute. 11:15 here on the Wake Up Call. Hopefully you're listening out there, maybe on Lexington's 95.9. Denise Lunsford, Commonwealth Attorney-Elect. She'll be taking over Albemarle County's Commonwealth Attorney office on January 1st. Sounds like you should stay home and keep it easy on New Year's Eve. Denise Y. Lunsford, what's the Y stand for?
Y is for Yvette.
Yvette.
Rumor had it that when I was born, my father picked one name and my mother's best friend picked another, and they put them together, and Denise Yvette. I don't know who picked which one.
What is the role of Commonwealth attorney? I'm interested to hear that both in a state listed manner and in, you know, like the Commonwealth attorney on the Constitution says, mm-hmm. you know, A, B, C. And I'm curious as to, because it seems like we've brushed across it a little bit in the previous question and reply, as to what your vision of fulfilling those roles may be.
Well, the Commonwealth's attorney is the chief prosecutor for a given jurisdiction. And in this case, Albemarle County is responsible for the prosecution of felony and misdemeanor offenses that occur within Albemarle County. There are also some other responsibilities, such as writing opinions on conflict of interest when requested to do so by the person who thinks they may have a conflict. Sometimes you act as special prosecutor for other jurisdictions in cases where the Commonwealth attorney there may have a conflict of interest, but primarily it's to prosecute crimes that occur in Albemarle County. And there are four other attorneys in the office in Albemarle County that assist with those functions.
Hey, there's another Rick Moore somewhere out there, right?
There is another Rick Moore out there somewhere, yeah.
Is he in the Charlottesville office, or is he a private
He was in the Charlottesville office. He is currently a deputy prosecutor in the Albemarle County Commonwealth Attorney's Office. Interestingly, when you talk about what sort of I think the role is and what practically the role comes down to, I just attended a conference with other Commonwealth attorneys and Commonwealth attorneys-elect.
For Virginia?
For Virginia.
Okay.
And there was a lot of talk there about what is being called community prosecuting, which is the notion that you become more proactive in your community against crime rather than reactive, which is something that I actually campaigned on and feel very strongly about. In other words, the traditional notion is that a Commonwealth's attorney or a prosecutor is reactive. When a crime happens, we prosecute and put someone in jail. Sort of the new notion that Commonwealth's attorneys all over Virginia are following, and I'm sure prosecutors everywhere, is a proactive approach and community prosecution, trying to be more out there in the community to see what we can do to help prevent crime before it happens and to let the community members know that they can approach us. So when you ask what a Commonwealth's attorney does, one of the Commonwealth's attorneys that I heard talk this weekend said, you know, sometimes they feel like a social worker. Sometimes they feel like, you know, anything but a prosecutor. But that's part of what the role is to try to make sure the community is protected, try to make sure people are safe in the community. And that involves many different things other than prosecuting people and making sure they get an adequate sentence, which is obviously a part of it.
Denise Lunsford here in the Wake Up Call studio today. Feel free to dial us up, 979-0919-1877. WNRN Rocks is the toll-free line. Not all the questions have to come from Albemarle County folks. Denise Lunsford here, taking over the Commonwealth Attorney Office on January 1st. Let's toss out the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Cloudy with a chance of showers today. Highs 50 to 55, a little warmer in Lynchburg where it might get up to 60. Cloudy with a slight chance of showers tonight. Lows 45 to 50. And cloudy with a chance of showers tomorrow, where the highs are going to be in the low 70s. Right now, clouds in most places in the listening area, 53 in the valley, 51 in Lynchburg, 52 in Richmond, and just 49 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, today's program brought to you by Acorn Hill Vineyards of Madison Acorn Hill, currently seeking a vineyard manager for its 40 acres in Madison County. Requirements are 2 years of experience and an associate's degree in viticulture or related agricultural science. More information at 540-948-3321, or you can always call us up on the studio line after this program is over. We also want to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries can be found behind the fountain in the Berwickshire Shopping Center, at the Hollymead Town Center up north, and on the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. On the web, fiveguys.com. All right, back with Denise Lunsford. She is the Commonwealth Attorney-Elect for Albemarle County. Denise, I was going through some old articles. Very interesting interview with The Hook, one of the underwriters for this particular program, and I want to toss out a couple quotes and maybe have you explain them a little more or at least talk about them. I'll be able to affect many more lives as the prosecutor rather than the defending attorney. I'm curious as to how you mean that. How so?
As a defense attorney, I always felt that my job was to I don't want to be overly dramatic about it, but sort of stand between my client and the state and make sure that the state did everything that it was required to do before intervening in my client's life in order to convict him or of a crime or sentence him for a crime of which he had been convicted. And in doing that, I felt like I helped my client. I affected, hopefully, in some positive manner, the lives of his family just by, making sure that he had a fair trial. As prosecutor, as I was saying earlier, I think the role that I have in the community, the ability to reach out to more groups, to more people, I can positively affect more people in our community. For example, one of the things that I want to do is try to get more into the schools and explain to young people, and this is something that I think young people don't really realize, when someone turns 18, they're not going to juvenile court anymore. They're going to adult court. So when they commit a crime, when they mess up, when they possess alcohol, for example.
And they go bashing mailboxes. Bashing
mailboxes.
Night.
The consequences.
That's a federal offense, by the way.
And
isn't
they
it?
Stick with you. I mean, a lot of people think that if you go into court, you know, and I've seen this as a defense attorney, I'm sure I'll see it as a prosecutor. Parents seem to think if they come in with a very nice child who's never been in any trouble before in their life and suddenly they decided to get drunk and drive or break into somebody's house just as a joke, and, you know, some people think that you can come in and say, well, but I've never had any trouble out of him before. He's really a good student. He makes all A's. And
look at the nice tie he has on.
Look at the nice tie he has on. And I don't mean to make light of it that I'm a parent, and as a parent I can understand sort of the shock and also just wanting to do whatever you can do to help your child. But I think too often kids don't understand that when they turn 18 or 19 and they're 20 and 21 and they're in college and things seem funny, that there are some very real consequences to those sometimes. And I believe as a prosecutor, it will be my role to get out there in the community and explain that there will be consequences. So at least if someone comes into court as a result of something like this and they've been warned, I guess, you can feel like you've at least tried before it got there. And maybe you've prevented somebody from doing something stupid. I think as when we're kids, we don't always think before we act, but I do believe that if you step in and try to explain that there are consequences, that sometimes people may start thinking.
Denise Lunsford, the winner of the recent Commonwealth Attorney race, she'll be taking over the Albemarle County Commonwealth Attorney Office on January 1st. Another quote from the Hook interview, which I guess took place in September or so. I didn't actually write down the date, but obviously pre-election day quote where everyone...
September, October.
Everyone got a chance on their own weekly issue to be interviewed. Victims need to have a voice. Now, again, we brushed across this. When you say victims need to have a voice, you're approaching it from the prosecutorial side. Are you representing the state as the victim in a grand scheme? Are you limiting yourself to the county because that's your assigned task? The person or family who may have suffered directly from this? How do you, is there one of these that stacks over the other, or how do you tie them all together and still be proficient in your job?
You know, I think it is all of those people, all of those groups that you're representing. I mean, you're representing the Commonwealth of Virginia. The Commonwealth of Virginia is your client, and there has been a crime against the Commonwealth. But as a prosecutor, you also have to remember that there's been oftentimes, and not with every crime, but oftentimes there has been a crime against a person as well. And that may be a hit and run. There's a person involved whose automobile was somehow damaged, or an assault, or, you know, there are far worse crimes against people. But oftentimes there are people involved. And when I say victims need to have a voice, there are people within the police department, the victim witness coordinators, who do a fine job helping the victims to make sure they know when court is, they know what's going on, they know where they're supposed to be. And they take that job very seriously, and they are very attuned to what's happening with victims in court. I think the prosecutor needs to be aware beyond what victim witness services does, because every action that you take as a prosecutor, especially in a crime where there is a victim, has the capacity to affect that person in some way. So if you neglect to call a witness, or you continue the case and don't notify someone, and the victim happens to show up and they've wasted some time, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed one morning and you're rude to a victim who calls into your office, all those things affect the way that person, the victim of a crime, looks at the justice system, looks at the criminal justice system, and looks at your office, and it affects whether they feel like they have been treated fairly, whether they've been treated respectfully and with dignity. I think that's very important in this system. You know, years and years ago, my father was killed, and we went to court, and I was 19 years old at the time, and no one explained to me what was going to happen in that courtroom. No one explained to me what the defense attorneys were likely to do. No one explained to me what the different results were. And to some extent, it was a hurtful experience for me, being in the courtroom.
Is that what led you to where you are?
I don't want to say that's necessarily what's led me to where I am. It's what's given me a different perspective, I think, than other people. Don't get me wrong, I have relatives in jail too, so I can see both sides of the issue. But I mean, it certainly had an impact on my life.
Either your father or your mother, or I'm assuming any siblings, are in jail.
Well, my father.
And that may be a more personal question.
That's a pretty personal question. My mother's.
But it
impacted my life, and it sort of colors, I guess, how I view people who have been victims of crime, whether it's that hit and run or something as serious as a murder, how those victims are treated, and how you speak to them, and how you prepare for their cases, and just how you let them know that you care about what happened to them.
Interesting, as we talk about your background and the color that it's played in the job that you've taken and how you will approach it. 11:29 on the wake-up call with Denise Lunsford, the upcoming Commonwealth attorney for Albemarle in just a few more weeks. And we've talked about how the, I guess, current and soon-to-be former Commonwealth Attorney Office has approached things. A phone call came in. Don't forget, you can call 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, from someone who chose not to go on air. Little 74-year-old lady threatened by drunk with shotgun went to the current administration and met derision, wants to know how you will be proactive in keeping people safe.
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry for what she experienced, both with the event that occurred and as the response that she received. One of the things that I would I'm really excited to start participating in, and that I've sort of seen their programs over the past few months, is Triad, which is an organization, cooperative organization of with Sheriff's Department and senior citizens to teach senior citizens how to protect themselves from crimes. They started doing programs back in, I think it was July was their first program. They had another one around September or October, and in fact, there's another one today. I can get a little plug-in for them at 2 o'clock at the Senior Center on scams, this being sort of the holiday season, and sometimes scams happen that affect senior citizens during the holiday season. But being active in Triad and trying to reach out to seniors in different ways, and I've talked with people at JABA and other people who are proactive on behalf of seniors to sort of teach them how to protect themselves so that they don't fall victim to crime. And more than that, some of the things that I heard at this prosecutor's conference this weekend was, reaching out in the community to make efforts along the lines of Triad, but and not being reactive, but being proactive in that way, but also establishing that if something happens, if someone does go after and target a senior citizen, if they stand in the way of us doing that program or try to target a senior citizen, making sure that they realize that there will be very serious consequences for that. There are crimes that you can't prevent, things that you cannot anticipate, things that are totally random that no one can prevent. But there are some steps that people can take to help protect themselves, and I want to be a part of making sure that people know what those are.
I don't mean to imply that this accusation went out to the current Commonwealth Attorney's Office, but
okay,
it's certainly been applied to but it's certainly been applied to others nationally, prosecuting groups, is decisions on when and when not to bring charges.
Right.
Because a lot of prosecuting attorneys, state-affiliated, have been accused of only bringing charges when they know they can win, because
right,
re-election depends on winning percentage.
I think there's a...
Do you think that applies? Is that a misstatement on my part?
I don't
and again,
know
I'm not
that
talking
it's a
about,
misstatement.
I'm not talking about the city or the county or anyone else, but I think
I
that, the case that comes to mind, being a sports guy, is... the Duke lacrosse case,
right?
Because that gentleman was accused of making it into a big ordeal because his election was coming up,
right?
And just to toss that one out there, but I'd like your feedback on that.
That certainly is a perception, and I don't know how much it's a reality. That's why I hesitate about that. That percentages. Are the primary thing that matters in a re-election. I think one thing that really, really matters, that resonated with me, that I heard from a lot of people, was sometimes just getting an ear, sometimes just getting someone to listen and understand what, you're experiencing and, trying to explain. One of the things that was said during the campaign is that, a Commonwealth attorney has to make decisions every day that somebody's not going to like. And that's absolutely true. Whenever you have a job like this and you have to make those terribly, terribly difficult decisions, ultimately there's going to be somebody who doesn't like that decision. But what you can do to help bring people satisfaction with your decision, or at least a piece, if you will, with your decision, is having you explain what your reasons are and doing more than simply say, well, I had to make this decision. This was the decision that I made. I know you don't like it, and sorry, because that was my decision. But rather sitting down and saying, let me explain to you why I make this decision. It's not going to change the fact that you don't like the decision, but maybe you will at least understand what I went through to arrive here and understand that it wasn't just a snap decision. I didn't just make this decision because I didn't like the color of the shirt or whatever somebody was wearing, but there were reasons that I arrived here. And I think that sort of respect given to people is more what people want than simply percentages. It's important that when you take a murder case or a rape case, for example, a trial, that you do the best you can. Obviously, you don't get there if you don't think that the person that is charged is responsible in some way for what happened. And that case is important to the community as well as to the people directly involved. But I think even more than that, people want to know that you've heard them, that you've given them a chance.
Denise Lunsford here in the studio today. She'll be taking over the Albemarle County Commonwealth Attorney's Office on January 1st, 11:36 with us. Thanks for tuning in. December 9th, only 16 days left until there's no more shopping time. Have you bought all your gifts?
I bought nothing. Yep. Nothing.
I have one, and that's only because one of my sisters said, if we all go in for Dad, I've got this idea.
It's nice when you have a sibling who can do that.
Yeah. Let's see where I am on my list of many questions. By the way, you can dial up and ask a question or make a comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Graham is out there to patch you through if, like our first caller, we're not interested in being heard on air. We can take your notes and read them. If you want to be put through, bring it on, boys and girls. We are ready for you. I'm curious, other than your first trial, significant moments of history in the Denise Lunsford courthouse?
I remember one time, more than 7 years ago, being in general district court in Albemarle County defending somebody for possession of marijuana, and I was arguing, I think I was arguing a motion to suppress that the officer had improperly searched my client, and the judge was Steve Helvin, who very well known locally, a great judge and always a little bit fun to try cases in front of. And the prosecutor was Ford Childress, who later left the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office, and I've shared offices with him for a long time. And I neglected to look at what my client was wearing to court that morning, and he was explaining what had happened with the police officer, and Ford, as prosecutor, got up and said, how were you dressed the way you are today? Yes, the client said he was. Were you wearing, in fact, the shirt that you're wearing today? And he said, yes, as a matter of fact, he was. And he asked him to stand up and open a buttoned shirt that was not buttoned, and show the judge his T-shirt. And he opened the outer shirt, and his T-shirt had marijuana leaves all over it. I think he was convicted. the judge laughed, and I, you know, mental note to self, always look at what your client's wearing.
There you go. Let us take a break real quick, and then we'll come back for the last third of the show with Denise Lunsford.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Jerry Mitchell, with bones so brittle he cannot walk, was struck by an Albemarle County police cruiser while in a crosswalk and then given a ticket. Who's at fault? The Hook takes a look. And did you know some meetings about various road projects are not even open to the public or to the media? They affect public and private property. They're funded with public taxpayers' money, but some local activists were not allowed. The Hook proclaiming today, Farty Hardy Day. Get on it. And today's programming brought to you with the support of Blue Ridge Graphics, Meade Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. We also want to thank 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, back with Denise Lunsford here in the studio today. Denise, I'm curious, when you go back to the election, why do certain groups throw support behind one candidate over another? Because I know that, I mean, is it strictly in your mindset because it can't just be because you ran as Democrat and Jim Campbellish ran as Republican, because I think there were some groups who were expected to be behind one candidate who went to the other. One of the things that caught me is UVA victims of rape threw their support behind you. I mean, did they come to you and talk to you beforehand? Did they say, we want you because you're a better listener? You mentioned something along those lines earlier about giving an ear. Is it because you're a woman and more understanding? What brings that about?
There were a number of groups in this election that threw their support behind one candidate or another, and I don't think it was because one person was Republican or Democrat. An example of that is that the Elmore Police Officers Association, for example, endorsed Jim Camblos as a Republican and Larry Clater as a Democrat. Larry, of course, running for sheriff. And then there were other organizations. And the Elmore Police Officers Association had a forum, if you will, where they invited both candidates for each of these offices to come in and sort of explain our positions and answer certain questions. There were other organizations that submitted questionnaires. You asked specifically about the UVA victims of rape. They did not submit a questionnaire, and I believe that at least one of the people, and I don't know how many people were involved with UVA victims of rape, but at least one of those people had a very bad experience with the current Commonwealth's Attorney's Office, and that may have led to it. the interesting thing I think about this election and for the three constitutional officers, and that was clerk of court, sheriff, and Commonwealth's Attorney, it seemed to me that this was less partisan than the Board of Supervisors. In other words, there were individuals and groups that supported one candidate or another, regardless of what party they were with. And, you know, there are always people who vote a strictly Republican or strictly Democratic ticket, and obviously, you know, that's their right to do that. There are other people who pay more attention to the issues. And I think these three races were indicative of, you know, people paying attention to the issues. Chip was elected as sheriff. He's a Republican. I think he got 56% of the vote. I was elected Commonwealth's Attorney as Democrat. I got 54% of the vote. Debbie Shipp elected as clerk with 50% of the vote, and that was a three-person race. But I don't think you can say that Albemarle is more Democrat or Republican really now. I think it's more evenly split now, and I think that people are just paying attention to the issues in these races at least.
Denise Lunsford here on WNRN's Wake Up Call, 979-0919, 1-877-927-5673. 1-877-967-6762. That's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line, 979-0919, the local number. Why a public job over a private job?
You know, this will sound like something totally different, but you know you're doing a good job with your kids when they say, when they repeat back something that you've said or you know, voice an opinion that you voiced. And our oldest son was talking the other day about what he wanted to do when he grows up, and we were talking with him about that and explaining it's very important to do something that you love, something that you care about, rather than pay attention to how much money you can make doing whatever it is you choose to do. And his response to that was, it's also important to do something to serve your community, which is something that we've certainly preached to him from the beginning. And I think that's what leads me to this job. I really felt like, I mean, to go back to that quote from the Hook article, that I could serve our community more effectively as prosecutor. And that's very important to me. And it's more important than, you know, how much the job pays or whether it's a public or a private job, but how I can serve our community.
Does it affect the way that you serve your family?
In what way?
Does the private job allow you to set your own hours more consciously? Does the public job and the fact that you will have a greater impact on a larger number of people mean that you have less family time? Is that a concern?
I don't know that it will mean that I have less family time. Family time is a concern.
Because you have four kids, right?
God, no, I have three.
Well, your husband doesn't qualify?
Don't give me any more, though. Richard and I have been very conscious of how we spend time with our children. And I, to some extent, you know, having a private job working for myself allows a lot of flexibility. On the other hand, when I have a trial, I have a trial, and I may have to spend 2 weeks in that trial, a month and a half preparing for that trial. I may have to travel. So there are still those obligations that are not drastically different, but we're very deliberate in the time that we try to be deliberate in the time that we spend with our family. We try to sit down to dinner with them every night. We, you know, have family night on Fridays where we go to Fridays after 5 or we try to do something as a family. We spend the weekends with our kids. Obviously, any time you work outside the home as a mother or a father, it affects the time that you can spend with your family. But most people that I know who work outside the home as mothers or fathers try to spend more quality time as a result of spending less quantity time, and that's what we do. And I'm very fortunate that Richard steps in when I do have to spend those long weeks in trial and makes an effort or is home every night when I can't be there.
Let me toss out a few, I guess, more local, or not even local, but more current events issues out here just to get your feedback on them, and I understand that you may not be able to delve deeply into them. Recently, from the Hook, Courtney Stewart was subpoenaed to court in regards to a case that involved some people who claimed that a Charlottesville City police officer nearly hit them with his car and got a little rough in his demeanor with them afterwards, and they were ticketed. And Courtney, being the reporter for the Hook who wrote the story and took the information from the side of the those involved, except for the police officer, was brought to court. And there was some concern about where her rights ended as a reporter gathering information for a story and what role she might have played in being able to testify as to whether or not the stories she had originally been told were the same, and I guess being a witness for the state.
Right.
I'm curious as to your take on that.
I think it's a really fine line. You have to respect the reporter's need for confidentiality. On the other hand, I think it depends on the kind of case and the use that you're trying to make of that reporter. Reporters, whether they're newspaper reporters or television reporters or whatever, don't like to be subpoenaed. They want to be able to keep that confidentiality. But sometimes, it may be absolutely necessary that they have the only information that there is.
Did you think that was absolutely necessary?
I don't know everything there is to know about that case. I do. My understanding is that she was subpoenaed as a rebuttal witness. So if the witness testified differently than what they had told her, that she might have been called to say that they told her something different. That's certainly important to know. I can't say whether or not I would have made the same call in that case. I just don't know enough about it.
11:51 here at the WNRN studios. I got a call here from Joe in Charlottesville asking Denise Lunsford, a Commonwealth attorney-elect from Albemarle County. Joe wants to know if you would prosecute if the victim wanted it, but you had doubts about the guilt of the accused.
That is one of those case-by-case situations that it would depend on what the evidence was, where it was coming from, what kind of case it was. It would depend on so many factors that I can't say yes or no. I can say that the answer is not always no, that I wouldn't prosecute. All I can say is I would have to know what kind of case it is, what the evidence was, why the victim felt the way they did, why I felt it wasn't a strong case.
Sure. I mean, it seems like immediately several things spring to mind about,
right.
Is this person trying to get back at that person? Or
right.
Are there some exterior
right.
factors involved
right.
that may have nothing to do with what actually happened?
Right. And that would be a tough call to make. And that's one of those situations where I think if you decide not to prosecute and you sit down across from this person and say, I simply can't prosecute this case. I know you want me to, and I really appreciate that, but this is why I have to make this decision. And it's no reflection on what happened to you. It's no reflection on how strongly you feel about this case, but this is why I have to make this decision. That will be one of the most difficult parts of the job, but I think it's the responsibility of the elected official to sit down and explain those things sometimes.
Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to put this program on today. Blue Ridge has footwear for the season, for walking or trail running, as well as stocking stuffers for the outdoor people on your list, including hiking guides, LED flashlights, and multi-tools. You can also pick up your first night button or tickets to the upcoming Banff Mountain Film Festival at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. You can find them in the Berkshire Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and online, brms.com. And not that you would, because we got 7 or 8 minutes left with Denise Lunsford, but you're not going anywhere at noon because it's Les Temps Purdue with Drew Thompson. If French isn't your thing in NRN terms, that means the time's gone by. And on NRN, that means late 80s through mid-90s alternative. Join them at noon. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. Did you ever take French, Denise?
I didn't, but it didn't sound like your pronunciation
Les
was right
Temps
on.
Les Temps Purdue. No. That's because I took Spanish, and I took it a long time ago.
Right.
And as a couple of my employees can tell you, they're not sure I took any Spanish at all, despite what I tell them. All right. Death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an option for you?
I realize
it's state allowed.
Mm-hmm.
If that were to present itself to you, I'm curious as to where your heart stands mm-hmm. and to how that might play a factor into the legal options out there. And was that a question that anybody presented to you before
mm-hmm.
the election?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes in this type of forum from the media, and other times just privately. So if you've done your research, you know that I've represented many people who were charged with capital crimes. I've also worked as a mitigation specialist in cases where I wasn't the attorney, but trying to help attorneys avoid having their clients get the death penalty. Capital punishment is the law in Virginia, and absolutely if the appropriate case arises, which I sincerely hope it doesn't, because that involves so many horrible issues for so many people that I truly hope, as I'm sure every prosecutor does, that I'm not confronted with it. But if the appropriate case comes up, I absolutely will seek the death penalty. I will, because it involves or will involve the death of somebody, and my seeking the death of somebody else, it won't be something that I do with any joy in my heart. I don't think that, or I would suspect that not many prosecutors joyfully ask for the death penalty in a case, but it's the law in Virginia, and I think it's something that I will have to consider. Well, I hope I don't have to consider, but I will consider if the appropriate case arises.
All right, let me remind everyone listening that this is WNRN-FM. Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg, WNRS-FM as well. I didn't say that right. I hope I don't get the $500 fine from the FCC. That's what happens when you go reaching for papers at the last second. Just another 3 or 4 minutes left with Denise Lunsford. She will be taking over the Commonwealth Attorney's Office for Albemarle County on January 1st. I'm curious. One of the things that's been in the news lately is the a proposal that the New York State governor made for allowing illegal immigrants to have a driver's license. And some of his comments as positives on this made were fewer hit and run laws, or fewer hit and run violations, a lower, lesser money paid for uninsured motorists to those of us who are insured, and all the other things that go along with those. But he was immediately derided for that. I'm curious, the immigrants play such a key factor in our local community as to what concerns you might have in terms of issues as such coming up and how you might handle them.
This is a, I guess one of the concerns that I would have is
how do you take a mother away from her two children who were, because the law says that if you were born in the United States, you are a citizen.
Right.
So how do you take someone away from her two children who were born here, and so they are legal citizens, and she's not, and send her away because she was in a car accident and didn't have a license or was discovered to be an illegal immigrant?
All these are issues that are just so big that I'm not sure how our society, and not just Albemarle County, but our country as a whole is going to choose to deal with them, or exactly how this is all going to come down. All that has to be taken into consideration. You bring up the mother with the two children who maybe were born here, her being born elsewhere. And what do you do with that situation? And, sitting right here today, I don't know what we do with that situation. I think, the federal government and those kind of situations, INS, would probably want us to hold that person in jail for deportation. But, at the same time, the federal government's not providing any money to the localities to do that, to hold those people in jail. They're not saying when they will come and pick them up. There are the familial issues. It's something as a society that we're going to have to grapple with, and it's bigger than just where a person was born. It's a bigger issue than that.
All right, Kirk, I know you're on the line, but you just waited too late today, my man. You got to call. Got to call another time. Denise, thank you so much for coming on with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Well, good. I'm glad to say that, and you're welcome to spread those kind words to anybody else you think would make a good guest for an interesting hour. Success. starting January 1st. Well, all
Thank
the
you.
Time, starting today
Thank
forward.
You. Yeah,
but
I need
especially
it.
At the work.
Right.
Good luck. And I hope to only see you in a social light.
Yeah.
All right. Drew's up next, boys and girls. See you next week.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon Gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.